It is 10:11 now. The U.S. intelligence community has concluded that Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered an operation to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. A WTOP investigation that began in November of 2016 examined how the attack happened, when it started, who was involved, and what lay ahead. WTOP's national security correspondent J.J. Green sets the scene in part one of his series, Anatomy of a Russian Attack.
On January 10, 2017, Director of National Intelligence Jim Clapper revealed Russia had attacked the U.S.
We have high confidence that President Putin ordered an influence campaign in 2016 aimed at the U.S. presidential election.
President Barack Obama knew something was afoot in September 2016, and he had some words with Vladimir Putin.
Cut it out, and there were going to be some serious consequences if he didn't.
CIA director at the time, John Brennan, warned his counterpart, Alexander Bortnikov, to stop the meddling.
Mr. Bortnikov denied that Russia was doing anything to influence our presidential election.
But according to a high-confidence, unanimous assessment from the entire intelligence community, Russia was interfering. The list of targets was extensive.
People and organizations associated with the 2016 U.S. presidential election, including both major U.S. political parties.
Republican Senator Marco Rubio was one of those targeted.
In July of 2016, shortly after I announced that I would seek re-election to the United States Senate, former members of my presidential campaign team, who had access to the internal information of my presidential campaign, were targeted by IP addresses with an unknown location within Russia.
And on November 8th, after the election results were in, Vladimir Zhirinovsky, a Russian politician, celebrated with champagne. And intelligence sources say other Russian government and intelligence officials in intercepted conversations congratulated each other for achieving something they had tried unsuccessfully to do during the entire Cold War. And coming up in my next report, how did they do it?
They have an extremely capable intelligence service with exceptional cyber capabilities that they have repeatedly demonstrated.
And it all happened right in plain sight. On the National Mall, J.J. Green, WTOP News.
You can read and listen more about this series at WTOP.com. Search National Security. The U.S. intelligence community says there is no doubt Russian operatives interfered in the 2016 election. In part two of our series, Anatomy of a Russia Attack, WTOP National Security correspondent J.J. Green explains how they did it.
It's November 15, 2016, 1 week after the U.S. election. I'm at a NATO conference in Sofia, Bulgaria. The place has been buzzing about Russian interference in the U.S. election. One intelligence source has told me there are no less than 140 English-language fake news outlets in neighboring Macedonia, all for the purpose of manipulating voters' thinking in the U.S. Back in Washington, March 30th, 2017, former FBI Special Agent Clint Watts had noticed similar activity, and he told the Senate Intelligence Committee he believed those websites were linked to bots.
A closer look at those bots tied in closely with other social media campaigns we had observed pushing Russian propaganda months before.
U.S. intelligence believed it was all a part of a sophisticated Russian intelligence operation.
They have an extremely capable intelligence service with exceptional cyber capabilities that they have repeatedly demonstrated, not only against the United States, but against places like Estonia and Georgia.
Robert Litt was general counsel in the Office of the Director of National Intelligence until earlier this year. Former House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers said this was a part of an overarching doctrine in Russia.
And so they took all of their cyber actors and are combining them in this one information warfare center.
In an exclusive interview, Virginia Senator Mark Warner, vice chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, explained how Russia went about its work.
Specifically, what Russia did, they started a campaign where they hacked into private individual accounts, both parties' accounts, Democrats and Republicans.
And Warner said the Russians made a decision
to only release information harmful to the Democratic candidate, Clinton, somewhere mid-spring to summer.
And coming up in our next report,
the second part of their campaign, which was even more sophisticated.
On Capitol Hill, J.J. Green, WTOP News.
And you can listen to new details on the Target USA podcast. Read more about it at WTOP.com. Search National Security.
It's 10:40. The Russian meddling investigations have revealed a sophisticated operation. WTOP's national security correspondent J.J. Green looks at why as we continue our series, Anatomy of a Russian Attack.
Russia's operation was very clever because it raised very little suspicion here on the streets in Washington. But Robert Litt, former general counsel at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, says the whole thing had no peer.
There's never been anything with this scale and this degree of brazenness.
Virginia Senator Mark Warner, vice chairman of the Intelligence Committee, which is investigating the Russian meddling matter, told WTOP in an exclusive interview there were two parts to Russia's plan.
The first was the selective hacking of information and letting that information then be released at critical times. The second part of their campaign, which was even more sophisticated, was using modern technology, using the internet, so-called internet trolls.
Former House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers explained to us how the process worked.
In the cases that have been publicly reported, they talk about 12-hour shifts. And in those shifts, they're given a certain number of posts that they have to do. So they would go out and actively look at sites that they believed, they being the Russians, would believe would have some impact on people's opinion of either a person or an idea or a policy.
And according to Warner, here's where it got really sophisticated.
Though they would use those fake accounts to, in effect, flood the zone with false news, fake information.
And not only that, they were able to specifically target certain areas.
There's been data scientists that have shown that in certain areas, for example, in Wisconsin or Michigan or Pennsylvania, the last 10 days of the campaign, you wouldn't hear stories about Clinton versus Trump if you were getting the news from Twitter feed or from a Facebook news feed.
Because of the automated botnet,
the top stories that would come up on your news feed would be stories about Hillary Clinton being sick or Hillary Clinton stealing money from the State Department. And it really was a remarkable campaign.
And coming up in my next report,
I was told that it was the Russians.
The victims of Russia's homeland security operation that you may not have heard about. J.J. Green, WTOP News.
And you can read a new article and listen to details on the Target USA podcast.
In our series, Anatomy of a Russian Attack, we've told you how the electoral process was attacked. And now WTOP's national security correspondent J.J. Green tells us about another big event that you may not have heard about.
Just after 8 a.m. on September 11th, 2014, the Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness in St. Mary Parish, Louisiana, began getting urgent phone calls from residents about a text alert.
It says toxic fumes hazard warning in this area.
Duval Arthur Jr. is director. He was on duty at the time and recalls the message that came in.
Take shelter, check local media.
Within 2 hours, social media users from the Gulf of Mexico to the Great Lakes were inundated with posts about the event. Images of the explosion, a screenshot of the CNN homepage appeared. Even a YouTube video showing someone watching a TV broadcast in which ISIS had allegedly claimed responsibility for an attack on the plant. But not a word of it was true. It was all an elaborately staged hoax. So who did it?
I was told that it was the Russians, but I have no information on that, none whatsoever.
But current and former U.S. intelligence officials do. And sources have told WTOP it was a classic Russian troll operation, part of their practice process for the 2016 fake news operation in the run-up to the election. And while there are questions about how they did it, former DNI Jim Clapper told WTOP, we should expect to see it again.
The success that they achieved is simply going to embolden them to do more.
And Clapper has seen evidence they're planning it.
Reports of additional Russian intelligence operatives coming to this country.
But not all of the blame can be placed on the Russians. Virginia Senator Mark Warner, vice chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, says part of it was our own fault.
For a long time in the United States, we have not taken cybersecurity seriously enough.
And coming up in my final report, the mistake.
Russian diplomats who visited the State Department did not have to be escorted.
It may have led to everything we're living through now. J.J. Green, WTOP News.
All week, we've brought you our series, Anatomy of a Russian Attack. And in this segment, WTOP National Security Correspondent J.J. Green takes a look at Russia's long game.
When we talk about Russia, remember that this is a nation of chess players.
Dr. Christopher Paul is a senior social scientist with the RAND Corporation. He told us there are two key chess-related elements to keep in mind when investigating the Russian meddling operation.
One is thinking tens, if not dozens, of moves ahead and planning meticulously the way things unfold.
Dozens of moves in the spy game can translate into years. The other element is opportunism.
Because chess is a two-player game, and if your opponent makes a mistake, you can opportunistically exploit that.
And there was a mistake. It happened at the State Department in the early
1990s. In 1991-92, senior members of the State Department felt as though old Russia was gone, a new Russia was emerging, they're friends, we can work with them.
And Robert Booth, former deputy director of counterintelligence at the State Department, said that error led to an even bigger one.
Russian diplomats who visited the State Department did not have to be escorted.
Imagine that. Russian diplomats roaming the halls here at Foggy Bottom, unescorted.
We tried to alert our senior members to this situation,
but their warnings were ignored.
We were somewhat rebuffed.
And 8 years later,
we find the Russians had put a bug inside the State Department in Washington, D.C.
Some intelligence experts say allowing Russian diplomats to roam the State Department unescorted in the early 1990s created the climate that allowed the foundation to be laid that eventually led to the 2016 Russian election meddling operation. So who oversaw such a massive, long-running, and complicated operation, and who funded it? Clint Watts, senior fellow at the Center for Cyber and Homeland Security at George Washington University, had an answer for the Senate Intelligence Committee on March 30th.
Follow the trail of dead Russians. There's been more dead Russians in the past 3 months that are tied to this investigation who have assets in banks all over the world. They are dropping dead even in Western countries.
Even just a few blocks from here, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Outside the White House, J.J. Green, WTOP News.
If you've missed any part of this series, you can hear it on Sunday and anytime at WTOP.com, search National Security.